in week number 5 of our series, Changed and Changing. And another of the key changes that need to take place in our life because Christ has saved us is submission. Especially when it comes to injustice, when life isn't fair. And the place in Scripture where God addresses that issue is in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verses 13 through 25. So I invite you, if you have a Bible, to go ahead and turn there. And as you're turning there, let me give you a quick test that will help you to know if you are submitting as God tells us to. Here it is. When you disagree with authority, do you obey as if God had told you to do that? Or do you disobey or grumble or complain, or gossip, or walk out, or work behind the scenes to overturn the decision you don't agree with? You see, submission is seen most clearly when we disagree. Listen to God's word in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Blessings in God's words. Captain of a ship looked into the dark night, and he saw some lights in the distance right on his course. And immediately he told his signalman, "Send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south." Promptly, a return message came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." Yeah, that didn't go over real big with the captain. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." The message came back, "Alter your course to 10 degrees to the north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones." Ho, ho, he's getting ticked. Third message goes from the captain, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." The reply came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse." You know, in the midst of dark and foggy times in our lives, all sorts of voices are shouting orders to us in the night, telling us what to do, how to adjust our lives. And out of the darkness, one voice signals something quite the opposite from all the rest. Something that seems almost absurd. Submission is relatively easy when we agree, but the real test comes when we don't. In our text, Peter talks about submission, submission to authorities and government, and submission to masters. And all of this communication is to Christians who are undergoing intense suffering. At this time in history, Nero is in charge, and Christians are being thrown into the lion's den, and they are being burned at the stake. And you know, it seems like an ideal time to fight back. But that's not what Peter teaches the Christians are to do. He tells them to submit to the unjust authorities who are in leadership over them. God says to us that his children should not be known for complaining, arguing, or starting protests. We should be known by our submission. And in this passage, he gives to us seven reasons why. The first reason is because of the Lord. Peter says, we should submit for the Lord's sake in verse 13. But the Apostle Paul also said it very similar in Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. There, Paul writes this, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Peter says to us, Paul does too, that we need to submit because there is no authority except that which comes from God. And to rebel against that authority is to rebel against God himself. And we also see this happening in the Old Testament with King David, or not yet King David, and King Saul. You may remember the story that Saul had been anointed king, but he wasn't yet king. Saul was still king. King Saul, hearing about it, really didn't want that. And so he decided that he would kill David. You remember the story, he threw a spear at David, he came into his house and dragged him out. He chased him for months and months through the mountains, trying to kill him. And yet David said this about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. You see, for David, he realized that if he touched the Lord's anointed, King Saul, he would be guilty before God. He saw that God had established Saul's leadership, even though Saul was in rebellion against God. Question for us is, do you see that God has established your pastors, your bosses, your president, even if they are treating you ungodly or unfairly? See, many, I think, are guilty before God because they have touched God's authority by their criticism, their abuse, or their attacks. Oh, you say it's not against God, but it is against the authorities that God has appointed over us. Does this mean that you can't recognize wrong? Yeah, obviously not. But the manner in which we do that makes all the difference. Does our response mock those in authority? Does it belittle them? Does it disrespect? Does it encourage rebellion against them? And if we have done that, we dishonor God. Paul said in Romans 13:2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Well, second reason Believers should submit to authorities because of their purpose. In verse 14, Peter talks about the reasons that God established authorities, and it's for two reasons: to punish wrong and to commend right. You know, it was after the flood that God established human authority. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 5 and 6, God said, "And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." It's here that God establishes the authority and accounting of man's blood, whether it is for an animal or man. In other words, if a man killed a man, he was to exact retribution through capital punishment. And in this covenant that he made with Noah, he establishes the governmental authority, the military system, and to a degree, our police system, that encourages righteousness and is a deterrent against sin or evil in our world. Before this point here with Noah, no system was established. Cain didn't die when he murdered his brother. Neither did his son, Lamech. God judged them directly before this point. But it was after man's complete failure to live godly that he wipes them out except for the eight and establishes delegated authority in the government. You see, government is established to deter sin and for prompting righteous behavior. They deter sin by discipline, and they encourage righteousness through commendation or reward. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 13, verse 4. "For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." When those who are in leadership promote good and they deter sin, they are acting as God's servants, as his ministers. And it's for that reason that we submit to them, because we understand their purpose. Reason number three. Peter tells us that another reason for our submission is to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men or of those who don't believe in God. It's in Psalm 14 that God says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." And I want to remind you that these believers that Peter was writing to were under extreme persecution. Many of them had lost their jobs and lost their homes, and they were on the run because Nero was using them as a scapegoat for the great fire that took place in Jerusalem. And he was saying that the reason that this is all taking place is because they have angered the gods who they would not worship. These Christians were bearing the sting of unjust accusations and slander because they believed in Almighty God. But instead of responding in disobedience and anger, they were to respond in submission, because it would quiet the mouths of those who curse God. The word silence is the word muzzle. It means to render a person incapable of responding. When we as believers live godly lives, it silences the lies and accusations and reveals the beauty of what it means to be a Christ follower. Does that mean that no one will ever say anything bad against you? Not in this world. But it does mean by our godly lives, their talk will be seen as foolish and will have no bearing in our lives and our reputation. Paul said it this way: "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, if your enemy, not your friend, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, don't get into the gutter with them. Paul says that by submitting to your enemies and serving them, you actually heap burning coals upon their head. It makes them very hard to dislike you. It makes it difficult for anything they say to make any sense to anyone. You muzzle them, making it difficult for them to speak harshly against you. Well, you can imagine that these Christians, what they thought about Nero and the evil officials in the government that they were suffering greatly because of. I'm sure they were saying, why should I pay taxes to a man who's trying to kill us? It doesn't make any sense. Why should I respect and honor this man? There is nothing to respect and there is nothing honorable about him. Peter says in verses 16 and 17, it is possible because they were free men, free from the slavery of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34 to 36, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs in it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, Peter realized that true freedom is freedom from sin. Sin enslaves us. It enslaves us to be unforgiving. It enslaves us to bitterness. It enslaves us to being Lord of our lives. It makes us impossible to submit to unjust authorities over us. Well, the fifth reason Peter gives for submission to authorities is because of a reward from God. In verses 18 through 20, he talks specifically about slaves who are serving harsh masters. He doesn't tell them to run away. He doesn't tell them to seek their freedom. He says to submit to them because it is commendable before God. That word commend means to praise or to honor or to congratulate. You see, God rewards those who submit to authority, especially harsh and unjust authority. Now, he gives to us a secret, but we have to keep it here, okay? Can't let it get out. Of how we can do this, how we can live and submit to authorities over us. And it's with a consciousness or a awareness all the time that we live in the presence of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 says, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Remember what Jesus said to us when we went through the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you. Christ blesses you when you are insulted because you are a disciple of him, when you are paying a price for following after Christ. He says, great is your reward in heaven. Well, number six is this. Believers should submit to authorities because of the example of Christ. Particularly on this day as we share communion together. Let's remember that Christ lived a perfect life of submission. It was, in fact, submission that sent him to the cross. He submitted to his Father's will. He didn't complain when things got tough. He didn't get angry with his Father. He submitted to him. But he didn't just submit to his Father. He submitted to the unjust authorities, and he suffered because of it. He didn't curse Pilate. In fact, he talked to Pilate about how God had given him his power. John chapter 19, Jesus said, or Pilate says to him, do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? Jesus responded this way, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. See, Christ saw Pilate's power as from above. And he honored him and recognized God as the ultimate authority, even over this unjust civil leader. Not only did Jesus teach that, he also taught submission to unjust spiritual leaders. Matthew chapter 23. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. You know, when Christ went to the cross, he suffered horribly under both of these unjust authorities. He submitted willingly to them, and he suffered because of it. He didn't fight back. He didn't resist. Why? Peter says it was because he entrusted himself to God. He knew that God would take care of him, and he believed that God would fight his battles for him. You see, we can submit even to unjust authorities because of Christ's example. He honored God by his submission and suffering. Now, I suspect that some of you have been sitting here for the last few minutes, half listening to me, and thinking about the exceptions to this principle. You have, I know. What about this and what about that? And running through your heads. You're wondering, is there a time to defend yourself? When should we not submit to unjust suffering? And briefly, I will touch it this morning since you're thinking about it. You need to use great wisdom in doing so. Scripture declares to us that we should turn the other cheek and that we should overcome evil, not with evil, but with good. We are called at times to just accept the wrong that is committed against us. Paul had a conversation in 1 Corinthians with a couple of churches that were suing each other. This is what he said in 1 Corinthians 6:7. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? But there are exceptions to this. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 25, I appeal to Caesar, while he was awaiting trial in jail. And of course, the example that most of you are probably thinking of is Christ, when he went into the temple, he pulled out a whip and turned the tables over in John chapter 2. He did not just accept the injustice that was taking place. So how do you know what to do and when to do it? Let me share a couple of thoughts. Four. Practice submission, especially for a personal offense, even if it's unfair. That's the rule. Secondly, when God is defamed, the Christian should seek justice. Christ turned the cheek for a personal offense, but responded with righteous anger when God was dishonored and others were being harmed. Three. Since all authority is from God, there are times we should use these authorities. That may mean calling the police or talking to leadership, writing to your congressman, or other things. And number four. In all of these times, there is a need for wisdom to discern what to do and what circumstances to do it in. God often gives to us wisdom through prayer and talking to godly leaders. Listen to people who listen to God. But remember, submission is the rule and resistance is the exception. You get that backwards and we will dishonor God and be disobedient to Him. All right, last reason. Believers should submit to authorities because God judges justly. When Christ was persecuted unjustly, He did not retaliate. Rather, He entrusted Himself to God. That word entrust is a banking term. In other words, Christ put Himself in the bank of God and trusted that God would do right. In fact, that's what He said just before He died. Christ quoted Psalm 31:5, where He said, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Paul said the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. While he was in prison, he wrote this. He said, "That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day." Should be a song running through your heads. Yeah, got it? Good. Paul is about to die unjustly, but he entrusts himself to Almighty God. Paul had put his entire life in God's bank, and he knew that his life was eternally secure and would produce a tremendous amount of interest in his account. Though he had been misjudged horribly by the world, his life and his character had been besmirched, but God would not. God is a just judge. And in His justice, He was going to judge those who had wrongly persecuted Him. That Paul was convinced of. You know, the great goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. It sounds really easy when we say it, and awful difficult to do. It is the mark of being a fully devoted follower of Christ. They see Christ living in us. They see Christ in us. They see the characteristics of Christ living out in our lives. It sounds great and wonderful until we realize that sometimes it means, often it means, lots of times it means submitting to proper authority, even if we are being treated unjustly. It means submitting to please God. It means not retaliating when we've been wronged. Getting the idea, this goes against human nature, folks, which is the point. It means entrusting ourselves to the righteous judge, knowing that someday He will right all wrongs. Not only are these things not easy to apply, they cannot be done in our own strength. Without the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, unless we have given to Him control of our lives that He might do what only He can do in our lives, it is impossible for us to submit to unjust authorities in our lives. But if we put our trust in God, He will look out for us and He will right all the wrongs. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's true. Life isn't fair. We used to say to our kids, get over it. But thank God that Jesus endured His unfair treatment on our behalf. He took our sins on His body. He paid the price that we could not pay in order for us to be able to receive eternal life in God. Nothing fair about that. Christ, who did no wrong, didn't have an evil thought, didn't say an evil word, didn't commit an evil action, did nothing wrong. And yet He took upon Himself the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, in order for us to have hope of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. I think it's appropriate this morning, I didn't set it up this way, I think it's appropriate this morning in talking about submission that we share the Lord's Supper together. Our greatest example, that which we aim for, that which we seek to follow after, the greatest example of submission to unjust authorities is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His death on the cross of Calvary that we see that. So let's pray and then we'll share communion together. Lord, You never promised it was going to be easy for us to follow You. And we didn't believe that before this morning's passage. We certainly know it now. Father, everything within us, when we are treated unfairly or we see someone else being treated unfairly, cries out for justice. When we are being treated unfairly, we want to do whatever we have to, whatever we can, to bring fair and right and justice back into play. Certainly, Father, as believers in You in this world that is not following after You, we find ourselves time and time again in conflict with authorities that are not seeking Your justice in this world, are not pursuing righteousness in Christ. You call us as Your children to submit. So, Father, would You help us to do that? And particularly, Father, as we spend these next few minutes together with communion, as we celebrate Your death and we remember Your great sacrifice on our behalf, might it spur us on to live a life of submission. For Father, rarely, if ever, is our submission going to be to death. But that's exactly what You did for us. So, Father, would You motivate us? Would You move us this day? Would You help us to be children of Yours who submit as unto You? Might that be characteristic of us as Your children, as it was for You? I ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.